we present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took. Thank you. Hello and welcome once again to the news quiz. We start with an advert from the Stortford and Stansted Citizen, read by Peter Donaldson.
The Pink Cottage Restaurant, Harlow. Eat as many Chinese as you like for only £9.
Yum, yum. Thank you, Dawn Higginson of Exeter, for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Tony Hawkes. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Andrew Rawnsley. Before we start round one, here's an announcement from the Winchester Cats Protection League.
We run a subsidised neutering scheme for people on low incomes.
Thanks to everyone who sent us that, including three cats. Now, Francis, first question comes to you. Who exuberantly questioned his competence?
I think this is the chairman of the Conservative Party, Mr. Geoffrey Archer Hanley, who, like John Major, the only reason he got the job as chairman was that John Major was the son of circus performers who ran away to become an accountant. And Jeremy Hanley is also the son of showbiz people who ran away to become a chartered accountant. So Major felt he was a kindred spirit and also recognised another blithering idiot when he saw one. And made him chairman of the party, and Hanley has not disappointed him. Every day he's up there, foot in mouth, as requested, saying that all these members of the yob culture running amok at boxing matches are merely exuberant, high-spirited potential Tory voters. Is that right?
Yes,
it wasn't. It wasn't exuberance. They were just carelessly stacking chairs.
This week's Tory party chairman, Jeremy Hanley, who dismissed a riot at a boxing match as just exuberance. The ringside japes became so high-spirited that several men were charged with grievous bodily exuberance. A senior party official suggested Hanley should look up exuberance in the dictionary, along with the words scrap heap and P45. Tony, your turn for a question. Where can you order lobster with your porridge?
Well, anywhere, really. You won't necessarily stay in the establishment, but... I don't know, is it? Isn't it about prisoners that get put up in luxury homes and things like that? And presumably have strange breakfast tastes.
Francis, can you help him out?
Well, I think he's answered it pretty adequately. Prisoners, lobsters, or what do you want? I suppose you want sauce on it now. A bit of thermidor. Well, it's prisons where they have colour TV in every room, room service, brandy and soda sent to you if you ask for it. Press the buzzer.
Yes.
And they put a little chocolate on your pillow every night.
You can even have a handgun as a side order if you ask for it. It's got there. You are getting a file into a lobster.
Certainly for the lobster.
These are the questions surrounding top security Whitemore Prison following the near success of an attempted escape. Six prisoners scaled 32-foot-high perimeter walls while firing off shots at their pursuers. The Home Office said they weren't actually trying to escape, they just got a bit exuberant. Andrew, who made change his ally by noticing a change in his enemy?
Well, this is Captain Paddy Ashdown, who... has been slightly disconcerted by the advent of Tony Blair as leader of the Labour Party, because he now finds he's the oldest of the party leaders, which is quite difficult for Paddy. And before the summer, before he went on his holiday, he was being quite testy about Tony. But now he's decided Tony's a very, very good thing and has been saying how wonderful it is for the Liberal Democrats that Labour will win a thumping great majority of the next election and won't need them at all.
This is Paddy Ashdown, who launched his pamphlet entitled Making Change Our Ally. His personal manifesto is intended to re-establish the Lib Dems with a cry of Vote Labour. According to an ICM poll, Labour's popularity immediately rocketed to an all-time low. Alan, will you have a listen to this? Oh, That was Steely Dan and Haitian Divorce. And your question is, who received a Haitian divorce from his supporters?
I don't know, even as we speak. I mean, by the time the repeat comes out, America may well be, well have been beaten. I rather hope. I'd like to see voodoo on the White House lawn. I think it's President Clinton's desperate... I was going to say foreign policy, but it's in fact domestic policy. Domestic policy having fallen apart. And even their airlines being rather second-rate. They will actually fly further than the White House. I'm very about to chuck in the sponge. He has been required to have a foreign diversion, the way all leaders do who are hard-pressed. And he's, I'm looking at my watch, listeners, he's going to invade Haiti in the next 10 minutes.
Or if you're listening to the repeat, he did it last Saturday.
It'd be very easy, really. All you get is a chicken and a big hat pin, and you can... knock out the entire Caribbean.
This is President Clinton, who seems keen to invade Haiti despite opposition from Congress, the Senate, 70% of the public, and the White House cat. Although, obviously, he doesn't take too much notice of the US public. And the scores at the end of the first round are, as always on this programme, 4-4. Francis, how much trust can you buy for £37 million?
But it's something to do with hospital trust, and I'm hoping my partner here is going to plunge in.
With the NHS trusts, aren't they kind of advertising their services and saying that spending this money on saying how good they are, really, and come to our hospital?
As if they've all been ordered to hire PR officers.
Right. Yeah. As if people will go out when they hear that and think, oh, I'll break my leg then and go to that. It's best to wait till you're ill and then go, isn't it? That's always the procedure I've gone for, foolishly.
You're absolutely right. Well played. This is the NHS and the government's trust programme. Now, you don't hear those two words together often these days. NHS trusts have spent £37 million since April on image promotion and advertising, presumably to encourage more people to use hospitals. It works. It's made quite a few people sick already. Tony, who won't timetable a regular daily service?
I think it's a question about the head teachers in schools who are saying that they don't want to continue having prayers in the morning for the kids because they've had it for 50 years and... Whatever, they're a bit bored of it now. And it's a potential tragedy for the kids because that's a great way to start the day. Is it gives you a chance to muck about immediately, doesn't it? And prayers and sing hymns and sing one word much louder than the other. And just not sing a hymn at all and then suddenly go, Hallelujah! That will be denied to them now. And that's a tragedy for the country.
This is the secondary school head's watchdog off bunk. Which has called for an end to daily prayers in assembly, much to the delight of pupils everywhere, especially for those studying at the David Icke School for Boys. The call follows a failed attempt at multi-faith assemblies when teachers held a combined Jehovah's Witness Catholic service. The kids wouldn't let them in the hall. And then felt guilty about it all day. Andrew, here's a piece of music for you.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage. This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary.
Well, that was, of course, Sinatra singing Love and Marriage, and your question is, who reckons living in sin is a sin for the kids?
I think this is the latest attempt by a government minister to promote the family and family values. And I mean, we can all think of many Tories, Cecil Parkinson, Tim Yeo, and many others, so keen on the family that they created two or more of them. And the latest Conservative to weigh in on this subject is the junior Social Security Minister, Alistair Burt, who says that marriage is a good thing, living in sin is a bad thing, and I'm just wondering when he'll call for half his backbench colleagues to resign immediately.
You're absolutely right. You cannot go accusing senior Conservatives of hypocrisy. You can accuse them of adultery, all right. Mind you, they'll sue before you can say insider trading.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes, I think we might all go to prison together. Alan?
What?
Which service... Alan, your question. Which service industry is wholly committed to the workers?
This is about the church joining the MSC, which is the, is it Manufacturing Science and...
Finance.
Finance, MSF. Finance doesn't begin with a C unless you happen to be one of my financial advisors. My accountant's listening, my cheque is in the post. Yes, the church has become unionised as of this Thursday. So we should look forward to turning up at church on Sunday to find a big black notice board saying, due to industrial action, this service has been radically changed. Hymns number 14 and 37 have been taken off. Hymn number 39 has been reduced by two verses. And those wishing for the Te Deum or the Jubilati will have to change at Chigwell and go under All Hallows.
The Reverend Knapp will be with you on Thursday.
Impression of the Reverend Knapp, Baron?
Well, I would try, you know, sir. Kingdom, are you good? You did, This is the news that vicars are getting together in a union. Members are already threatening to strike for eternity, but were told in that case they should have joined the RMT. Their grievance is against an autocratic management. Who does the boss think he is? God? And the scores at the end of the second round are still tied at 8-8. We start round three with something spotted in The Independent by Mark Elsmore of Cobham in Surrey.
Thieves stole a 7-foot cardboard cutout of a policeman from a hotel in Mildenhall, Suffolk, shortly after it had been used in a talk about crime prevention.
Oh, thank you, Mark Elsmore. Francis, who lost currency making an exhibition of himself?
Oh, this is a very sad story. This chap who took out his life savings and exhibited them. It's what Norman Lamont used to do when he was Chancellor of the Exchequer. And this chap met a similar fate because all the people who attended this exhibition decided to help themselves. And his life savings are now much depleted.
He was quite stupid, wasn't he?
Really? He wasn't. He was, well, so was Norman Lamont.
You couldn't have a go at his name, could you?
Yes. Zhang Jiang Yai.
Well done. You get a bonus for that.
And after I saw his first picture, within half an hour, I wanted to see another one.
Tony, will you now have a listen to this?
Time can't erase the memory of these magic moments filled with love.
Perry Como singing Magic Moments there. Your question is, whose good life mushroomed into the high life?
Quite a lot of clues in that question, weren't there?
Oh, yes.
This would be Felicity Kendall's son, who went out and picked 300 or 400 magic mushrooms, as you do. Then he sort of... I think he dragged them out, and his plan was to put them on toast with honey. And he got arrested, anyway, by the police for having them. And I think his defence lawyer said that if he consumed the 300 or 400 mushrooms in the field when he'd picked them, he wouldn't have been committing an offence. He wouldn't have been doing anything much at all.
This is Felicity Kendall's son, Charles Henley, who was fined £250 after he admitted eating magic mushrooms for breakfast. Charles, a superintelligent dyslexic with a very high QI, was disturbed... was described as a keen horticulturalist. Yes, he was lucky not to have booked a spot on Gardner's Doing Time. Andrew, who was bunkered at the 19th?
Oh, this is a story about ongoing male prejudice on Britain's golf courses, I believe.
So it is.
There's a woman broke down in her car and went for help in this golf clubhouse. And they just turned her away. They said, you know, you can't come in. Which proves, I suppose, this golf club has more cads than it does caddies.
Yes, that's exactly right. This is stranded motorist Louise Gittins, who was thrown out of the men-only bar of the Vicar's Cross Golf Club after walking in and asking for help. Oh, grief. Next we'll be asking for the vote. Unable to remove an aged flat tyre, Mrs. Gittins entered the bar and asked for advice about seized nuts. One old buffer replied, try widening your stance. Meanwhile, the club president claimed that dresses in the bar made the chats feel uncomfortable. Well, maybe they should slip into loose-fitting negligees instead. Alan, where did the international cry go up to, free the Renault 5?
This is one for Lord Owen, being a very small incident. A man with a Renault 5, an ex-registration Renault 5, came out one morning and found it wasn't there. What he didn't know was that he'd been taken to Bosnia. Taken to Bosnia by an extremely dim thief. Arriving in Bosnia, found out that its road fund licence had run out. So he applied to the DVLC in Sarajevo. About 4 years, they wrote back and said, no, it's Swansea you want to try for. It was simply a story of Renault 5 being stolen, ending up in the war zone. The copper said something relatively amusing for a copper. He said, we're not going to go and get it unless they give us a tank.
That's very good. Yes, apparently, you're absolutely right in every particular. Apparently, car thieves target cheap models for the Bosnian market because they can't afford anything better there. You'd think even a car thief would realise that stolen expensive cars don't cost them much more than stolen cheap ones. But there is good news about the car. Its discovery abroad has effectively doubled Britain's export figures for the month. Scores at the end of round three are Francis and Tony have 12, but thanks to Alan's bonus, Alan and Andrew now have 13. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Europa Times.
Belgium's army recruitment officials are taking no chances when it comes to enlisting the cream of new talent. To ensure that the soldiers pass their promotion exams, the Belgian authorities have given them the exam questions in advance. To make absolutely certain they pass, they've also given them the answers.
Well, thank you, T. Bran of Chelsea, for that. Francis, here's a piece of music for you. I remember you by thunderclap in the sky. Lightning flash, tempers flare round the hole. If you dare, I just miss it once in a leaky boat. Split ends there with 6 months in a leaky boat. And your question is, who survived not 6 months, but 18 days with his pal?
I have a ghastly feeling that we haven't a clue. Unless my colleague here, I think he's...
Tony
there's, there's a tiny glimmer of intelligence in his eyes. That...
Thank you very much. I'd like to say the same for you. Well,
but it wouldn't be true.
I'll give you a clue. Woof, woof.
Well, presumably it's somebody who went off in a boat with his dog and was away for 18 days. This is all we can assume.
Alan, I think you must know this.
I do now. I mean, he couldn't get much more interesting than that. Just a bloke with his dog.
He doesn't even know the name.
He's adrift for ages and he was eventually picked up. I mean, France is absolutely right.
18 days, apparently.
This is a man called Gary Thwaites who got lost and survived adrift in his yacht eating nothing but lentils, beans and dog food. No wonder he kept blowing off course. Gary was getting a bit concerned after 3 weeks alone at sea. Mind you, his dog was looking at him. No. The Coast Guard finally spotted Gary looking desperate on the poop deck. The before towing him into port with the longest rope they could find. Tony, what monster will leap off the scales?
I think this might be a reference to some research scientists, I believe, in Japan or Canada have come up with a growth hormone gene, I think, which can make salmon much, much bigger than they are. 37 times bigger than they are, I was reading. Which must make it really hard for them when they want to try and get back to where they were born. Which is kind of, I can't squeeze through here.
So the parents wouldn't recognise them.
No, of course they would. No, it's a disaster for the salmon. But
more than getting into the tin as well.
But I was wondering whether, you know, this growth hormone gene, whether it would work on parts of the body as well. As, 37 times. That's going to make me very popular at discos.
This is the news that scientists have developed a way of making salmon 37 times larger. River authorities are concerned where these 5.5-stone monsters will live. The answer is anywhere they blooming well lie. Unfortunately, it seems they'll be prone to heart attacks, so if you catch one, don't hit it over the head. Just whisper, John West. That should do the trick. Andrew, where does Heidi High come with an X certificate?
Oh, yes, this is a marvellous story in how old Billy must be revolving in that great camp in the sky. This is Butlins, which is trying to change its image entirely. We all have an image of Butlins as sort of Stalagluft Bognor Regis, where you have to keep the holidaymakers in. But they're now trying to make their image a little raunchier, and they're going to have sort of soft porn shows, as I understand, so it's going to have to be renamed Smutlins, it suggests.
Knobbly bum contest. I can't imagine Butlins being pornographic. Astonishing. Amorous grandmothers.
Well, I was having lunch earlier this week with the Prime Minister's brother, Mr. Terry Major Ball, who goes to Butlins every summer for his holidays, and he was shocked, rigid. And he said, those were his words.
This is at Butlins, which is to offer raunchy adults on weekends. The company is preparing for the sexy breaks by holding auditions for Butlins raincoats. However, traditionalists feel that Butlins should stick to promoting a family image with acts like Keith Harris and Orville. Yes, there's nothing kinky about a grown man enjoying a relationship with a great duck. Alan, what sire will pig out royally out east?
This is about Marshal Captain the Fifth, or possibly Captain Marshal the Fifth, who's the world's cleverest pig. And it appeared at the Royal Lank show in one man and his pig performing pig contest. And this hugely impressed a talent team from the Emperor of Japan. As this thing was running along planks and going over obstacles, and doing all those Sonic Hedgehog things the Japanese like so much, talent team grew aware that this pig was carrying something that would have gone down a tree to Butlins. And they actually invited this animal to head up the Japanese stud, because it is the best endowed pig that these Japanese have ever seen. I don't know if the pigs had a look at the Japanese, but one way or another, they've reached this mutual agreement. And I think it's Captain Marshall V, who is now going off to Tokyo to start knocking off Japanese pigs in the hope of producing piglets, or pigrits. I can't be politically incorrect. We may as well go the whole hog. No pun intended.
Oh, yes, there was.
Oh, no, there wasn't.
It's all about the performing pig called Marshland's Captain V. The pig has now been bought by the Emperor of Japan for stud purposes. That should make a nice change for the Empress. Ah, so to you. The emperor had instructed his scouts to go out looking for a breeding middle white, to which they said, go and look for your breeding self. We've got to reveal the final scores. Let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis, have you got a cutting for us?
Yes, I have, Barry. Gosh. It came from today's Daily Telegraph. An armed robbery went wrong yesterday when two raiders wearing balaclavas pulled up outside Barclays Bank in Kendal, Cumbria, at 4 p.m. and found it closed.
you, Francis. Tony.
This is from the Daily Telegraph as well, and it goes... it's from an article about angling, and it goes, I can strongly recommend a non-profit-making organisation called Angling Projects. It offers fishing instruction, bankside facilities, supervision, and general insight into the pleasures of angling. There is no charge and no catch.
Thank you, Tony. Andrew.
This is a cutting on this week's topical theme, Law and Order. It's from the Daily Telegraph. A 14-year-old known as Blip Boy because of his impact on crime figures has been recaptured by police responding to a 3-hour stream of burglary complaints in York after he escaped on his way to court.
Thank you. Alan.
Well, I'm sorry about this. It's another angling one, but there's not much I can do about it because I have a piece in the Downton Journal. Uh-huh. It says, correction, last week's report of the Avon Angling Club's annual competition should have stated that Mr. Joe Farrell of Ringwood won his class by landing a 23-pound, 11-ounce pike, not bike.
Well, thank you. Let's look at the final score. Well, I think you pretty well know what it is, because Francis and Tony have got an impeccable 16, but thanks to Alan's bonus, Alan and Andrew have scored even better 17. This week's winner. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Yorkshire Evening Post, sent in by Roy and Margaret Wilkinson.
Two parakeets were stolen from an aviary, although it was guarded by a Rottweiler, a court was told. Mrs. Anne Goldstone suspected the thief was someone who knew the dog. She was right. It was her son, David. Leeds Crown Court was told that he returned the parakeets to his mother. They were subsequently eaten by the Rottweiler.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Francis Wheen, Tony Hawkes and Andrew Rawnsley. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Alan Evans.